Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jonathan Kuminga. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Wheeler and Dibs each and every week, right here on 95.7 The Game.
We don't want to change that, do we? Does JK want to change it? Hey, catch that jerk, Steve Kerr, on with Wheeler and Dibs every week.
And when you catch him, maybe those two would ask him why I don't get to play.
I'm kidding. But Steve Kerr is going to be on in an hour and a half. And there is just a tremendously revealing article, and a fascinating one, on the SF Standard, written by our friend and our next guest, Tim Kawakami, on the River Islands guest line, that just dropped today. And if you have any questions or opinions about the Kuminga situation, I really think that it is required reading. Hey, TK, what's going on?
How you doing, Mark? Thanks for that. Yep. There's things going on there. I think we'll be talking about it. But yeah, I just try to lay it out as plainly and distinctly as I could, because it's obviously a huge question. I think it's pretty much a settled question in Warriordom these days, but just kind of wanted to get it down there and talk to some people about it. And there it is. There's the column. Read it.
Yep.
SanFranciscoStandard.com.
There it is. And Tim, you know, one of the first things that's been on my mind especially the last few days, with all of the concerned callers that we talked to and everything, how much of this in your reporting really comes from Steve Kerr, or how much of it is from many others in the organization as well?
It's from the whole thing, yeah. It's from weeks and weeks of watching this and talking to people and just watching more than anything, DMPs for the final two games, and trying to go back and figure out why that happened and why it would happen. Kerr has basically been saying it at the podium, essentially, if you knew what he was saying, if you knew, you know, kind of between the lines when he says that, you know, he didn't think they've been playing as well for the last few weeks when they really had a rhythm going. Well, I guess who the player who was added a few weeks ago off of injury. And just, you know, it's natural. It's natural coaching stuff. It's natural when you're honing down for the playoffs, you're going to be picking the players you think are best. And this team changed when they acquired Jimmy Butler, and changed in a way that, you know, it's been decided that Jonathan Kuminga doesn't really fit. Now, they still might need him in the Houston series. I think they will play him in the Houston series. But I don't think that changed the overall pictures. If you're going with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, all in triple down, which they are, which they have won a lot, you know, 24-8, you know, since Butler's arrival, essentially. You're probably not going to go move forward with John Kuminga, mostly because his contract's up, and that's a big pressure for everybody. He's a restricted free agent. There's pressures on the whole thing. You understand why he would be thinking about it. So it's coming from the whole thing. Like, that's just the way it happened. This worked out. You know, it feels like it was a snap judgment. It feels like there's something that broke, but it just kind of been going for a while. Maybe it does surprise me it happened this drastically, but it's not a surprise that it did happen. That John Kuminga is a player of great talent. I've supported him playing more, frankly, for many years, but I get the decisions that have to be made, and you just have to track them and say what exactly has been happening here for the last few months, and let's pin it down and just put it down in an article and just say that's, if you want to try to understand this and not just get mad, not just, you know, pick one side or the other. I just tried to not pick a side and just say, here's how it's happening. Even though we know John Kuminga might be needed and might be playing and might be great in the Houston series, he's still basically behind four or five other guys in the rotation. We've seen it at the wing position, and it probably will carry out through whatever remains of the rest of his Warriors career.
The one that surprised me, Tim, was the Gui Santos insertion in the second quarter, because Mark and I had a little playful bet, and we put the over-under on 30 seconds that Kuminga would play outside of garbage time against Memphis, and then in that spot, Steve went to Gui instead of JK. Is that because, in your opinion, Gui fits more in what Kerr needs out of a ninth man with the hustle plays and the intangibles?
Yeah, I think they're just not going to play Kuminga as a ninth man. They're not going to have him unless he's like the sixth or seventh guy, because you can, you know, run things through him. That's his talent. You can touch the ball, dribble four times, get to the rim. You know, those are the things you can do. You can't really do that if you're just having him be a spot guy. If you're going to play a spot guy, you know, Curry, and I keep using this example, I'm not saying that Curry picked Santos over everybody, but to close that Denver game, very important game, he said, get Gui in here. And of course, Curry agreed, put Gui in there over Kuminga, who was in the game at the time. Just because he hustles, he gets loose balls, he's versatile defensively, they know he's going to be where he's going to be, and there's a real calmness for them that he's a very energetic player, but for Steph and for Draymond and for Butler, they kind of want to know where everybody's going to go. Steve Kerr would certainly agree with that, and Santos, they feel more confident about that in a bit role, and they're certainly not going to be playing 25 minutes a game, but in a bit role, if you're leaning into the Curry Butler thing, they are going to mostly want the things that Santos brings, and more than anything, the things that he doesn't do. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't dribble into traffic. He doesn't do those things that they are wary of Kuminga doing, and he's been doing it his career. I still like him as a player. I'll say that. I wrote that column, and people accuse me of writing a hit piece. I like him. I talk to JK all the time. Not lately, though. We haven't been in the locker room very much. But you have to understand what's going on, and you have to give a four-time champion coach the benefit of the doubt of, like, he's gone through this. They have been winning, and that is the words you get from, you know, very important people on this organization, including the players, who are the most important people in this organization, that it's been going well. Why would we want to change things? It's been going well. Now, you know, the extent of it, the DMPs, there's no opinion about that. That's up to Steve. But you got to understand it. You got to explain it to yourself as this has been going well. And Kuminga's a little different. I've always liked that he does different things, because sometimes, you know, just pass the ball, move, and not shoot it and not dribble can get tough, like especially against a team like the Rockets. So again, Kuminga might have some kind of role there. You know, Moses Moody, Brandon Pajemski, Buddy Hield, like, you know, maybe they're not the best, but they go where they're supposed to go. They move where they're supposed to go. They set up Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler, and it's been successful. I cannot argue with that. And that's basically what I try to put down there. This is why this is happening.
Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, with us on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. TK, where's Joe Lacob on this topic?
Well, he doesn't coach the team. You know, he's the owner. He loves John Kuminga. I was going to put in there. I didn't. It just got too long. But, you know, he loved James Wiseman maybe more than any player. Was personally involved with that selection, number two overall. Thought that, you know, he really could redefine who they were. He was going to be a star that would lead, you know, the two timelines, all those things, in the post-Curry era. And eventually, Steve Kerr decided he couldn't fit with what they're doing. Steve Kerr was dead on right. They win a championship when he's hurt, and then they trade him. And Joe, I mean, there's nobody of these young players that Lacob liked more than Wiseman, and said it very vocally to me and to others. So maybe it's the same thing with Kuminga. He does really like Kuminga. There's no question. I mean, that's no secret. He likes these young, very talented players. It kind of goes with his mindset. You just go for talent. You know, just figure it out. You know, you buy these companies and you just try to make them valuable. You increase the value. And right now, Zion Kuminga is a very talented player who isn't valuable for the Warriors. But he doesn't coach the team. He's not the general manager. I think he certainly has his opinion and he lets it known. But Steve Kerr, the guy who's won championships, Steve Kerr has got to decide what's best for his team. And I don't think the leaders of the locker room disagree, frankly. Again, maybe the extent of it, you know, they're not going to say that, how many minutes you should play, but they like the players who are playing. They won some big games that way. They won the Memphis game, didn't play great, but they won it without Kuminga, and he was not going to play in that game. I'll tell you that. He was not playing in that game, and he was not going to play in the Clippers game. We'll see about the Rockets, but they've just, kind of as a mind meld group, and Lacob is part of it, but not the one making the decisions on playing time, that they are better with doing exactly what they do and not kind of veering from it. And Kuminga's a veer from it. Kuminga does different stuff. Sometimes really well, sometimes really not. They've really decided to lean in on who they are, and that's it. And I get it. It's the playoffs. Might have to adjust some. We'll see what happens in the Houston series, but I don't think Joe Lacob is going to get in the way of that. And in fact, he hasn't gotten in the way of that.
What would be the scenario then in your mind that would lead them to play Kuminga? Because you mentioned the Clippers, slower tempo team, he didn't play. Memphis, up tempo, I thought that was a spot where he would. He didn't play there. In your mind, what would lead the Warriors to now lean on Jonathan Kuminga to where he would play a significant role against Houston?
I don't know, down 2-0, something like that. You know, I think he might play some. You know, I've said maybe don't spot him, but maybe, you know, give him 8 minutes in a game one or game two just to see. Because Houston is so athletic. They are so on top of Steph. They will be on top of Butler. You just need outlets. More so like Clippers, you don't need outlets. You need smart players making smart passes, moving correctly. You know, they're just a fundamental defense. Houston is just a physical, fast defense where – like if they're overplaying somebody, you need somebody who's got a counter to it. And Kuminga's got a counter. Like he can grab a pass, take two dribbles, and dunk it. And he's played great against the Rockets. That's another huge thing in the past. And I imagine Kerr will just love it when you pepper him questions about Kuminga in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's up in the air. But I think their main plot will be to go with what they do. And you're going to win with Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. It's hard to argue with that. Like, why wouldn't you do everything possible for those two guys to feel their best and to have the best players for them around them? But then if things go wrong, if there's a matchup problem, and if, you know, Gary Payton is not being defended, and if Moses Moody's not hitting shots, and Buddy Hield's not hitting shots, coach is going to try different things, right? Any coach is going to do that. I don't know how long that will take. I don't know if you try it right away just to see where Kuminga's mind is. My sense is maybe it'll take more than one game, but if they're down, you're going to try different stuff. You're absolutely going to try different stuff, I would think. But, you know, they can't for sure know that that's going to happen. What if they win for game one, right? Then they're going to keep doing everything they want to do. So, you know, things can change. You know that going into it. You know that going into any game, and certainly into a playoff. I just don't think the general idea is that Kuminga is going to play a ton in any series that they play.
Yeah, TK, it's interesting because I know you said you haven't talked to him of late, and you kind of touched on his mental space right there. Like, what do you think is his readiness and his willingness to go in there and play the way they all want him to play?
I think he's going to want to play, you know, and I think he's going to want to be great. That's part of this. He is very, you know, convinced that he's a great player, and he certainly has great skill, and at times has looked great. So I think he'll want, you know, he will embrace the ability, you know, chance to play if he gets it, when he gets it. Can he play their style? I mean, you know, you can obviously go through a young man's head and, like, you know, his coaches decide I'm not that good. If that's what he's thinking, I don't know, but you know, or doesn't, that I don't fit in certain situations or in most situations. That's got to be frustrating, but hey, this is the NBA. This is grown up life. And I can't imagine that he's feeling great about the situation. I can't imagine he's feeling great about staying long-term with the Warriors. I think that's the bigger picture of what this is. And everybody I talk to in the league would certainly is not going to disagree with that. The likely situation is not going to be on the Warriors next season. Things could change there too. He's a richer free agent. Weird things happen. But all things being equal, it was probably going to be a tricky situation for him to come back to the Warriors anyway. JK has the say in this. He's a restricted free agent. I don't know that he's going to be galloping to sign a new deal with the Warriors, given all this. Again, what if he might be incredible against Houston, and that changes a lot of ideas. It could. It has happened. That would, I think, be the lowest percentage possibility that, like, everything's changed after this series. Even if he has a very good series, I think it'd be likely similar. But who knows? I'm not gonna say nothing's impossible, but I don't think his mindset is feeling that this is a great time that he's having right now. I would definitely say that.
And you mentioned in the piece, Tim, and Tim Kawakami here on 95.7 The Game, you mentioned that he's not been seen on the bench a lot, and he's been back in the tunnel to the locker room during games. How common is that?
Other players do that too.
Players is kind of, is it like a Knox and Spencer kind of thing?
It's like, the bigger players kind of, it's tight seating in there. So I just said that because Kim Kuminga has largely been on the bench throughout his career, went during games when he's not playing, and he's not been seen there very much. But Looney wanders back there too. Looney sits at the end of the bench, and then he wanders back there. Guys go on the bike. Guys hang out with the guys who are on the bike. Guy Santos is on the bike a lot. GP2 is on the bike a lot. GP2 tends, kind of wanders around. They wander around a lot. So, and an aggregator got this and made a big deal of it, and like, whatever. Other players do this, but it has been notable that Kuminga has not been on the bench very often. He's been there a time or two, and he'll join the timeout huddles. So, me putting in there, I guess people are making a big deal of this. I probably should, if I knew people were going to go crazy over this, I did put in there with other players, other players. So, and players go in the locker room, players wander around, that happens. So, yeah. I just don't want that to be the hinge of all.
No. I just was curious about what the scenario was, and you laid it out perfectly, because I didn't know if it was like, okay, you're the four guys who aren't going to play, so you go stand in the tunnel because we don't have enough seats.
That's not it. Not it.
I'm glad you clarified it.
The guys who are playing or who want to keep their legs fresh, and they don't, these are big dudes who have to fold up their bodies to sit. So, they do get antsy and they kind of walk around sometimes. And, not every player, but guys will do that. Some of the bigger players, Quentin Post, sometimes will wander back there. That's right there. The tunnel's right there. They have the locker room, walk down the hall. They can get the locker room if they want. They can come back. It's just a little notable. I put it in there, so I'll take the heat for it, for people getting mad at me. But it's just been notable for someone who has often been on the bench throughout his career when he's not in the game. Yeah. He's mostly not on the bench now, just kind of in the tunnel. But always available. Like, he's coming in, and they check in the game, he'll be available. Like, he's not going to come in. It's just, that's another place where guys go.
No one has ever gotten mad at Tim Kawakami for something that he's written. TK, SF Standard, also Warriors Plus Minus Pod, along with Anthony Slater and Marcus Thompson, with more good stuff on this situation. Tim, you mentioned talking to people around the league. How do they view Kuminga? What kind of an offer do you think he's looking at from somewhere else this offseason?
Yeah, the answer, I guess, I don't know. They don't know. It's a very, volatile value, very talented. People understand that. You can see him sometimes take over games on a very good team. Then you see some things that, makes mistakes, and you're not sure, and do you want to pay something like that, $40 million? A lot of his draft classmates are making $35, $40 million, and I'm sure that's what he wants. There were negotiations, in the summer for the rookie extension, which is when other guys have gotten that deal, and they did not come to an agreement. One tip of how you don't know. You don't know what the numbers. You know, Joe Lacob of the Warriors like to keep assets. They would have liked to have him under a contract, I'm sure. It just didn't work out. The numbers didn't work out. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's 40. I don't know that, you know, he's proven that, but someone that might be very interested in giving him 30, 28. I know that, you know, Jordan Poole deal was right in there. You know, maybe they live to regret that one, but you understood the value of that. I would say in that realm is it was expected. Can't tell you a team. There aren't going to be teams with a ton of cap space that can get there if they move some things. But at the moment, I'm not really sure who is a team that would have $35-38 million a year to offer him. But teams do stuff. Like, he's really talented. Like I said, again, I'm a Kuminga supporter in many ways. I just think he's a really interesting player. He does interesting things that, you know, a lot of players can't do. He has ambition. You like that. He'll take the shots. You know, doesn't always make them, so that's a big part of it. But, yeah, I think there'll be a market for him. I just don't know. I think it's likely to be a sign-and-trade just because there aren't teams with all this tons of money available just to sign them outright. Again, the Warriors are historically do not like just giving away assets unless there's a real reason to do it. This would be just giving away an asset if you just let them go. So I can't say what around the league no one knows for sure just because the market's tight and you're looking at this guy getting DMPs in very important games. You know, I think that kind of sent a shock through the rest of the league saying, whoa, what's going on here? Many, many different pieces. It hasn't been decided. Nothing, you know, it gets truly known until the market opens and you start to see what the bids are or you see what the Warriors might do. But it's a moving target, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and it's going to be fascinating in the offseason, but in the meantime, it's the question of something you put in there about Kerr not ever going to be tolerant of, quote, messy play. What is it about Kuminga's play that maybe has the coach and some of his teammates perhaps losing faith in him?
That's holding the ball, you know. You know, when they talk about the ball moving, the energy of the ball provides offense energy. And this is something that, you know, Kuminga has struggled with, or, you know, he likes holding on the ball. He likes kind of taking his own shot. I understand that. If you're a really good player, you kind of want to do that. That is not what the Warriors do. And if he was on another team, I think, you know, that runs more an offense where the ball's okay if it stops and go do your thing. And we don't have Steph Curry running around getting open, and we don't have the coaching staff dying because they just want the ball to get to Steph. It might be judged very, very differently. But that's like the thing, you know, move the ball, move your body, move the ball, move your body. Because eventually, if you move the defense enough, even if they got two guys on Steph, Steph's going to run around and come open if you just move the ball quickly and smartly. And that doesn't happen a lot with Kuminga. I'm a Kuminga guy. I appreciate his talents. That does not happen with him very often. He tries. He has tried. But it doesn't come naturally to him. He wants to hold the ball. He wants to dribble it. He wants to feel it. He wants to shoot it. Ambitious players who are 22 years old often want to do that. That's not, you know, a unique thing, but it does not fit 4 years into his career with what the Warriors are doing. It certainly has not fit what got them to this 24-8 over the last, you know, Jimmy Butler era. So that I would say, you know, probably a few other things, but, you know, or just the big pictures, they don't need him to do that. You know, when they didn't have Butler, they kind of needed him to bail them out for segments of the game because they just didn't have a way to score when Steph wasn't out there. Well, they got Jimmy Butler now. So, and it wasn't that efficient, even when he was doing, even when he had some great games, which he did have some great games. I think that they got Butler. You just don't want anybody messing around with the ball when Jimmy Butler could get it and then create something and have guys moving to the spots where that Butler knows they're going to be, get open, take the shot. It would help if they made them more, but that's the way basketball, as we know, is a make or miss league. But, you know, it's a complete commitment to the things that they're doing since Jimmy Butler arrived. And Jonathan Kuminga just doesn't do a lot of that. And again, I get it. Totally understand it. I really like the talent. But Steve Kerr has been right on these things a whole lot more than he's been wrong. And he's, you know, there were people criticizing him in 2022 for the things, you know, for the rotations. And he is not doing things in a way that you can, you know, say that it hasn't worked out. It's worked out for him many, many times. Yeah. You can go back and say, like, you know, how Kuminga's been handled throughout those 4 years. That's a different thing. Why can't they have gotten into a place where he can do all these things? But, you know, much of this is Kuminga's responsibility. So they've tried. They've really tried. And they really feel like this theme, this philosophy, this tempo, this rhythm was created without him. You know, it started when he was hurt, and it continued when he came back, and basically without much from him. And they want to, and that's how they want this team to play. And I can't argue with Steve Kerr on that. It's like, this is, that Clippers game was one of the best games they lost, but that was an incredible game.
Yep.
And, you know, it's been pointed out to me, you know, the Memphis game at Memphis, April 1, was when Steph went for 52. They put 134 up on Memphis. It was a great game, one of their most connected games. And Kuminga was out with a pelvic bruise. Like there's things you have to acknowledge, there's things you have to notice. And as a team goes into the playoffs with a coach who has won a ton of playoff series, he made that decision. I get it. It might have to be adjusted for the Houston series, but I get why all this has happened, and this has been over 4 years it's led to this. And I just think over 4 years, you build up, you know, a lot of things that are understood, a lot of things that are weighed, and this kind of four-year thing has kind of come to a pretty general conclusion that it has not worked out in a way that he's going to be on the team for very much longer.
Mm. Tim, fantastic work, and really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much, as always.
You got it, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, TK, SF Standard, Warriors Plus Minus Pod, suggested reading. Go to SF Standard and check out what Tim Kawakami put out about the Jonathan Kuminga situation. That was pretty all-encompassing.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus, tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.